It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Monday, November 15th, 2010. I'm John Moe. Big event going on over at Facebook headquarters today. Expect to see a Facebook email option available very soon. The idea is that instead of Gmail or Yahoo or Hotmail, you could just check email while you're on Facebook. We're covering this over at MarketplaceTech.org. You know, we talk a lot about social networks and computers and smartphones on this show, and that's all fine. But today, I want to tell you about a breakthrough in artificial limbs. Scientists at the Applied Physics Lab at Johns Hopkins University are moving into human testing of the modular prosthetic limb, an artificial arm that can be controlled through circuitry connected to the brain. Michael McLaughlin is program manager on the project. He says they're attempting to do something pretty ambitious. For one thing, they've tried to make an arm that is similar in size and weight and strength to a natural arm. And they're trying to make a big leap in functionality, too.
Most amputees, upper extremity amputees today, wear essentially a hook. There's very limited ability to manipulate objects. And what we're really striving for is an arm that enables you to really have a lot of the functionality that was in the limb that was lost.
How is the construction of it different in terms of the wiring?
Each finger has its own dedicated motor that enables you to control each finger individually. It has motors in the wrist that allow you to rotate and flex your wrist. It has a thumb that has multiple motors in it that allows you to do, you know, various motions with all the, you know, individual joints within the thumb. And none of that's been done in a prosthetic before.
Now, I have the arms I was born with, and my brain sends signals to my arm to tell me what to do. So where on a limb like this does the natural wiring stop and the artificial wiring begin? Like, what is it, on the shoulder? Is it way up in the brain? Where is it?
So for somebody that has a substantial amount of limb remaining after the amputation, they still can think about opening and closing their hands. And the muscles in the forearm that would normally make that happen will still flex. So you can pick up those muscle contractions and convert those into motion of the arm. And there are other techniques which involve actually interfacing with some of the nerves that run down the arm. For somebody that's had a very serious amputation at the shoulder level, or even somebody that's in a classification like a high spinal cord injury patient that has the brain no longer has the ability to send those signals all the way down the arm, then that's requires a different level of integration with the nervous system, because now you have to start thinking about moving up towards the brain and eventually actually interfacing directly to the brain itself. And so that involves measuring neural activity. So when you think about moving your arm, you have nerves that become activated in your brain. If you can detect that activity, you can then convert that into an intent that a certain pattern means I wanted to open and close my hand, or I wanted to reach out and grasp something. And so, but the challenge is to be able to, one, measure those signals, and number two, you know, understand how to decode those things. So how to take all those individual signals from those individual nerves and determine what it was you as the patient intended to do with that arm.
That's Michael McLaughlin from the Applied Physics Laboratory at Johns Hopkins. More on this project at MarketplaceTech.org. Producer Larissa Anderson is here.
Don, if any of our listeners are in the market for some used electronics, we've spotted an old Apple for sale. It'll only cost about $200,000.
Okay, so a little more than an iPad.
Christie's Auction House is brokering the sale of an Apple I computer. Dates back to 1976. It has 8,000 bytes of RAM. For perspective, a new MacBook Pro has about 8 billion. No monitor or keyboard, but the thing does have a cassette drive.
Ooh, because I do like cassette drives. Tempting. But 200 grand?
It is steep, but only 200 of these were ever made. And this one is number 82. It comes with the original packaging. It was mailed by Steve Jobs from Apple headquarters,
which at the time was his parents' garage.
And there's a personal letter from Jobs there, too.
We've come a long way in 34 years in the world of technology.
Yeah, it turns out technology moves pretty fast.
I noticed that. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Marketplace Tech. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.